What's going on, everybody, and welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. Believe it or not, the whole band is back together again tonight. We're recapping episode 7 of Full Swing, but first of all, Will, I mean, where the hell have you been? How's everything going, buddy? Are you too big for us now? Tom, how we doing? It's long time no talk.
I'll let Will talk, because we've
Tom Waxbow, I believe. I've been on the tarmac a lot. I was at Augusta. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my guys, and then, you know, obviously I was in ringside Rangers, you know, talking to the guys, you know.
What guys? Periods. Name them.
I was talking to Matt Rempe, Artemi Panarin, a little Zibanejad action, you know, talking to them. And, you know, they won the President's Trophy. Hopefully they don't choke in the playoffs like they always do. Not that I'm a Rangers fan. But also, you know, before we get into Full Swing, boys, you know, I listen to the podcast. Sounds like somebody's got some bragging rights to do.
I was going to give you a full minute if you need it. You beat our asses. Well, you beat me by 0.25, but a win is a win.
Sean, would I beat Sean by 75?
Yeah, should we just not let Sean? This is a golf pod. We're talking about Full Swing. Should we just not allow Sean to talk for the entire pod?
I mean, if the goal was to, like, to get the highest possible score out of a foursome, like, Sean would be at the top of the list for MVP.
Oh yeah, I mean, I would ask for Sean for picks every week if it was just how to be bad at the game.
Listen,
shut the fuck up, guys. Here, you keep going.
I should just ask Sean every, like, major tournament, like, who's not going to make the cut, and just put money on it, because Sean is really good at that.
Well, no, you ask him who his winners are, and then you pick him to not make the cut.
Yeah, fade for sure.
Shawnee. When are you gonna figure it out?
Listen, I got nothing to say. So if you want me to be quiet the rest of the time, I'll let you guys go.
That's enough bragging, Will. Should we jump in or no? You have a
Absolutely.
Little bit more.
Let's jump in.
Listen, my first
good
take,
to have you back, Will.
Yes.
Thanks. I'm happy to be back, boys.
It's excellent to have you back. Thank you for the voice message. It sounded like there was a lot of important people in the background. My first takeaway from this part one of the Ryder Cup, I thought last week was part one. I was wrong. Regardless, is that next year, I think it's next year at Bethpage, is going to be fucking wild. I can already see the PGA releasing a statement that fans need to calm down. I can already see, you know, some of the players on their Instagram pleading with the fans to calm down. That shit in fucking Long Island, New York is going to be nuts. And we're going to be there, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy. The one thing that I took away from is, you know, I watch a lot of Ryder Cups. And, you know, we love Zach Johnson for his antics on the golf course, but he might be the worst captain I've ever seen in Ryder Cup history.
Zach Johnson sucks, and honestly, if there's a such thing as golf canceling, especially after this week, I think he should be canceled. And by the way, he's ugly with a hat on, and then he pops that thing off, and it's a heinous crime, his face.
It's really bad. It's really bad. You thought Peyton Manning had a big forehead? Jesus Christ.
Well, Peyton Manning has a big forehead, but his other features, I would say, like, compliment him. Like, Zach Johnson has, like, a flat face. It's like a thumb face. He kind of looks like those things. You guys ever seen Spy Kids?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now I know what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're going to say. Yes.
Those people. The thumb people. He looks like that. Yeah. Tell me he doesn't.
No, he definitely does. And, like, you know, the craziest thing is, like, watching this episode is, like, you know, you have the captain's picks or whatever. He's like, I'm just going to pick my buddies, even though that Ricky Fowler hasn't won anything ever. He's like, oh, I'm going to take Ricky Fowler. And, like,
that's Keegan your boy, Bradley, too.
I love Ricky Fowler. But Keegan Bradley was playing 10 times better golf than Ricky Fowler, but we're going to choose Ricky Fowler. And, like, obviously, we watched
I'll defend Ricky a little bit because he did have a very good year last year. But I agree.
He did.
Keegan had a better year.
Keegan Bradley should have been part of the Ryder Cup team. But
I
also,
mean, Ricky should have been on that team. It's JT.
JT's the one because they built the suspension, the suspense in the previous episode, and we all obviously know what fuck happened, but then it's just like, it was so anticlimactic. Like, they get the call with Keegan, and he's like, he's with his family, he doesn't get it, and then it's just, they just move right along, and maybe it was because they were crunched for time, but I don't know. They really built that story up. Maybe it's because they knew everybody at this point knows what happened. But, yeah, for JT to get picked there, looking back on how awful he was in 2023, it really was, Will, to your point. I'm just picking my buddies. Fuck it.
Yeah
exactly.
Go ahead.
Tom, go ahead.
I just think that we wouldn't even need Full Swing to talk about this if – it was a closer Ryder Cup, but I just think we don't talk about how bad of a captainship and how bad of a pick he made there because of the fact that you could have had Prime Tiger and Phil, and they still would have got their asses beat. So it didn't really matter.
That, you know, that's the thing. And, like, you know, obviously we saw Scheffler dominate again this past weekend or whatever. But he, you know, he was not the Scheffler we've seen in the last, what, year that he was in the Ryder Cup. He played terrible with Sam Burns in that first round. I wouldn't say terrible, but he didn't play like the Scheffler we've seen in the last year.
Yeah, he didn't play like Scotty. Dude, you can just say it. The entire USA team pretty much sucked.
I wouldn't say the entire USA team. If it wasn't for Max Homa, they probably would have got shut out.
Yeah, Max played really well. I mean, that's our
Max,
boy.
Max was unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, obviously he's my boy. Obviously he didn't win the Masters, but you know what? You gotta take a shot when you can. But you know, it's one of those things that it's just, oh, I like this guy, I'm gonna pick him, even though he can't even make the FedEx Cup playoffs. He's one of the best team players for USA that you can choose from.
He's like, not even ranked as one of the best 100 players in the world.
Keegan Bradley sitting there at 11, what, Sean, 14 in the world, and we're like, oh, we're going to go in a different direction, Keegan, sorry.
That's exactly what he did.
There's no way to put it. Like, there's no other way to put it. He just picked his buddies. It was a popularity contest, and Keegs, like Sean has chronicled, is just not part of that crew. And I'm going to ride for my Johnny, of course, but he should have been on that team. It's an idea.
Go ahead, Sean.
I was just going to say, with the expectations being what they were, I mean, the U.S. team is loaded. You've got – they actually do have some live players, whereas obviously on the side of the Europeans, they weren't allowed to. They had to give up
also,
their card. I actually really like the fresh faces and kind of the sense of, hey, we have to build a family and a community, whereas on the U.S. Ryder Cup, it was basically just run it back from 2021.
Exactly. And go ahead, Tom.
I just think it was like – again, they do this a lot in Full Swing to build up suspense. I get it, but they made it sound like it was like Barcelona in 92 and it was Team USA against fucking Lithuania, who, by the way, had the sickest shirts designed by the Grateful Dead. Pretty cool. But with that being said, like it was not deemed or talked about the way the people that gave it a little bit of color in the show talked about it at the time. The USA hasn't won the fucking Ryder Cup on European soil in 30 years. This was not David and Goliath, which pisses me off that they're talking about it now like it was.
Yeah, 100%. And the funny thing, I don't know if you boys saw it or whatever, but if you Google Ryder Cup 2025, it says European captain Luke Donald, and it says USA to be determined. That basically said, Zach Johnson, fuck you. You're not doing this ever again.
I didn't even know you could repeat as a captain.
You can repeat as a captain.
Well, yeah, Zach Johnson, we knew that. It was a dumb pick from the start. I mean, I know he's won two majors and he's played in a couple Ryder Cups, but it's like, what's the next thing? Patrick Reed? Is he going to be a captain too? He's like the next in line if we're going this route.
I mean, you know, Patrick Reed's going to pick all his live boys, you know? So it's going to be like, oh, Scheffler, you're the number one in the world, but you know what? Dustin Johnson, come on. You've been playing bad golf, but you're one of my guys on the live tour.
I like seeing Luke Donald's process of figuring everything out and kind of having to go to some rookies, right? And I like the exchange between Oberg and Rory. Rory's like, you don't have to prove anything, man. You're already here. Like, you made the team.
You see the way Rory was looking at him, though? I think he wanted to kiss him right on the spot. So
listen, I thought it was a really cool insight into Justin Rose as well. Obviously, he's had a lot of success in Ryder Cups, but this was only the third time he had to be picked. So that was really cool as well when you're looking at kind of the beginning of a new era on the European side, but they want the experience. I thought that was pretty cool.
And, you know, you saw the line from one of the reporters, whatever, that it looks like the USA is going to dominate for the next 12, 14 years. I think it's the opposite. With how good Tom's boy Auberg played, or Aberg, or however you want to pronounce
Oberg.
Tom, your boy Oberg, played at the Masters. You know, you have, what's his name, Strep Saka or Sepp Straka?
Yeah, it's Bob's. Yeah,
it just... The way
Hogard.
He played in the
Hogard. And Hovland, too.
Like, and Hovland, too, even though, you know, I mean, Tom, I don't know how he did in the Masters.
You are such a cocksucker.
This might outlive Kirk Cousins.
He was really, really good heading into
in the Ryder Cup. He was amazing
in the
Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
yeah,
that was
100%.
That was an easy pick. Yeah.
But,
like,
I just think
you
it's so
all
stupid
these guys.
When you make calls like that in golf because, like, if you think about it, a few years ago, we were out here saying JT and Jordan, Spieth, and Dustin Johnson, all these guys are the next guys, and it's like those guys got passed by. I hate to say it. Like, I mean, of course, I still think that they could win a major, but it's like, nah, now it's Scotty, it's Ash K, it's, you know, it's your Victors. It's like, how, outside of Tiger Woods, when has ever golf had like just a 10-year run like that? Even with Jack, you still had Arnold and Gary Player and Greg Norman at the end, and a bunch of other players, where it's like, outside of Tiger, why are we just out here declaring that these magical runs in golf? That's not how it actually works.
Yeah, and then, like, I was looking at like the preview for maybe, you know, picks for the 2025 Ryder Cup, and there was no JT, there was no Fowler, there was no Spieth. It was, you know, the normal guys, Scheffler, obviously. But, like, then you saw the names like my guy, Shahith Thegala. You see guys like that are up-and-coming Americans. Like, if you look at the top 10, how many Americans are in the top 10?
Starting to look like the NBA, man. It's becoming a foreign league.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have, you know, obviously Koepka plays great in majors or whatever, and obviously he's a live guy, but it's like Scheffler against the world, and Scheffler can't play in every match in a Ryder Cup, obviously.
Don't say that. I think he could. Maybe maybe him and his kid. Is it a boy? Has he been born yet?
No.
I don't know.
Yes, I hope it's a boy.
Also, no, that's next. Another thing, and we said that on the pod. The overhyping of this baby being born. I mean, come on. I think she's like a week pregnant.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the funniest thing was, is I saw a thing on Instagram, and I wish I tweeted it, but it was like, Scotty had that thing after he won the Masters. He's like, I can't wait to be home to be my wife. And the next like page over was Scotty in a dive bar.
Oh, he was at the dive bar in Dallas.
Yeah. Oh man. He just had to go back. I mean, some of the patrons are outside of Augusta too. Also, I gotta say one more thing on the Masters. And I heard somebody said this, maybe it was DJ or something on No Lang Up. If you're going to make Jason Day take his vest off, which I don't know if everybody's anti the vest or anti just vests in general. I thought it was a nice look, except for the Malbon. It was a little too loud. But like, then we got to take our fucking palmetto and our dumbass, stupid, big block logo hats out of the pro shop, because you can't give me Fashion Corner on Jason Day and then have fucking throw up in your pro shop.
No, I totally agree with that. And also, you know, Tiger wears the vest with the red.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I thought he looked pretty cool.
I have to assume that they thought it was just a little too loud. That can be my only assumption. But they should definitely apologize for it, because it became kind of a circus act.
No, 100%.
And it wasn't his fault either.
I mean, just to, you know, if you want to call that disrespect to the Masters, I don't think it was disrespect. It's somebody who sponsors him. So I get that 100%. But also, you look at it too. You see, you know, Sean's boy Victor Hovland just kind of disrespecting the greens of Augusta, just missing a two-footer and then trying to scrape one in and goes right by. It was a lot of things you haven't seen in the past. I mean, obviously you had the Ernie Els mishap a couple years ago where he six putted from 2 feet, but when he wasn't caring, or was that Phil? That wasn't the majors where Phil tapped the ball after it rolled 2 feet past the hole.
No, that wasn't a major. That was just a tournament. That was classless. Yeah. We can't have that.
You know, you see Jason Day with his spaceman pants and then wears, you know, a cowboy killer vest the next day.
I understand that's
your sponsor and everything, but you know, I don't know do we have to start worrying about all the traditions that are what Augusta stands for, and now I wouldn't even say like players are trying to make a mockery out of it.
Are you a member yet?
No, not yet. I gotta talk to the group there. Maybe I'll get on. You know, I mean, yeah.
Maybe learn the chairman's name too.
I mean, I do have a parking spot there now after I drive from the tarmac to the course, but, wow. You know, I share it with Victor Hovland.
I don't think he has one. I don't think he's finished.
But, you know, that's just the thing, though. And, you know, you see the whole Zach Johnson thing where he basically says, fuck you to the patrons. after they booed him and all that stuff. But
they
boo
him. They gave him a bit of a they clapped.
It was like a sarcastic applause, but like
I don't even think it was sarcastic. That's what you do at Augusta when somebody makes a putt. You give him a little golf clap.
But like it was just frustration, and he just let it out on the patrons. It made no sense.
Yeah, exactly. But like you see the Zach Johnson thing, the outfits that Dave was wearing. Granted, it's
you were upset. You were on site, and you felt
yes, Victor. You know, Victor Hovland. You know. Putting the way he did after he missed a two. Like, you never saw that at the Masters like 5 years ago.
How dare them? Truly, how dare them?
Yeah. I mean, granted, they tweet and cheat the bird noises and all that stuff, but like, come on.
Listen, when we get down there, I know you were down there, but when us as a podcast, Sorry Sports, gets down there, we're going to make sure. Maybe we'll wear little fucking sheriff's badges that say like, I don't know, respectful patrons, police or something. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. I will say, though, is like the whole Zach Johnson debacle at Augusta does not correlate well with, I know we're watching this in real time. A lot of people probably already saw these episodes or are waiting to just binge it. But like, I don't know. It doesn't correlate well with the trying to really redeem himself as a great guy, because it doesn't overlap very well, especially after watching these last two episodes.
We don't have to give too much energy to Zach Johnson. Unfortunately, he did win a Masters, so we're gonna see him at Augusta every year until he decides to hang it up fully. But aside from that, like he's on the way out. His career is pretty much
100%.
Done, so peace out. 100%.
And going back to full spring,
it is full spring, which we love.
It is full spring now, yes. But going back to full swing, I might now be a huge Keegan Bradley fan. The way he handled that phone call with Zach Johnson, knowing that he played better golf than
I
JT
think he knew he wanted
Fowler.
To get
I know he knew that, but like the way he handled that, if it was me, I understand Netflix is there and all that stuff. And whatever. But
if it was you, you probably would have been like, all right, Zach, you look like a fucking thumb, you loser.
I would have been like, I played better golf than JT and Ricky Fowler combined all year. Like,
you
why?
Know, like when you put yourself in a headspace, I'm sure he put himself in the mindset of, I'm not getting picked. And if I do, like, I'm actually going to be surprised. And that's how it played to me.
Yeah, because we saw
he was very fully aware that no matter what he did,
yeah,
because he's not in that circle. The previous episode just constantly showed that mm-hmm. he's not part of that group. And if Zach Johnson, he tried to make it sound like it's his civic duty to pick the best players, but we knew that obviously wasn't the case. He was going to go with JT. So I think Bradley had already resigned himself to knowing he wasn't going to make it short and sweet, say, all right, thanks so much, and hang up.
Yeah.
I mean, but that, that's the thing in past when the USA used to dominate the Ryder Cup is just we're picking the 12 best Americans. Oh, I don't care
and
about
you're
friendships.
Really just
I don't care.
The six because the other six
you're,
are already solidified.
Yes, exactly. So you're picking the six other best Americans. You know, friendships don't matter. They don't matter. I want to beat Team Europe. But
I would like to piggyback briefly on a comment that, Will, you made earlier, though. I think what it did was kind of foreshadow this crossroads that we're at with the American players, because I know that Jordan and JT have a pedigree of playing well in Ryder Cups, but let's be frank, and Ricky, too, being in there, like, they have not been playing great golf now for a while, particularly when you look at Jordan and
JT
and Ricky. So
yeah, 100%.
When you're it kind of foretold like, yeah, these are the guys I'm going with because these are the guys that I've won with. But when you start going back, three Ryder Cups is 6 years ago. It's pretty far removed from Jordan Spieth being a legitimate like factor, right?
Yeah, 100%. And like, why don't you, obviously, Tom says keep the ball on the planet, but why don't you give Sagala a shot, who had three top tens in his last four tournaments minus the Masters.
And I
why
think the next captain is going to start looking at that in totality, because the next captain is hopefully not going to have these long-tenured friendships and making his judgment picks off of that.
Yep. And, thing I would say is, for Keegan, I agree with Sean. I think he already had it decided, because we already had it decided, and we only watched an hour of it. He's with them. Think about it. He's with them almost every single fucking week because they're all competing each other every week. So
that's a great point.
He probably was like, he probably saw the writing on the wall, you know, even before a year ago this time. So he definitely knew. Unless he went out there and earned it, getting top six, there's no chance he was making this team.
It does, too, show kind of the fraternity within the fraternity, right? It's like we're all supposed to be together. We're also at this crossroads where we're sticking strong with the PGA.
But also, that shit always happens after you win, and they fucking dominate.
Totally with you. Totally with you. But it was really evident and on full display in this episode.
Yeah, but also at the end of the day, is this Team USA or is this a frat club?
Agreed, bro.
It's not supposed to be the frat club, but... element out of it, and that's why captains are supposed to be above that.
I mean, you just see it, and like what boggles my mind, and I understand the whole dynamic to it all, and we can talk until we're blue in the face. But you see Ricky Fowler, like world 127, and Justin Thomas world 78, and then you see Keegan Bradley doesn't make it at world 12. Like, it makes zero sense.
No, of course, and that's why they went out there and got fucking boat raced. Although I think. Like I said, I think that you could have put Tiger and Phil on there in their prime, and they were destined to lose that one. But you know what? They dominated the last one, and Team Europe was not ready for that one, and they were all buddy-buddies. So let's hope that the U.S. follows their lead in this past one in Rome, and they decide to get their shit together. And, you know, we see guys like a Sahith if he's playing well at the time, or a Willie Z if he's playing well at the time, or go down the list.
Yeah, those are the two guys that are favored to be on the Ryder Cup in 2025, from what I was reading on the golf website. And
ball
I didn't see,
man.
I didn't see JT. I didn't see Fowler. I didn't see Spieth. They weren't even on, like, the cusp of making the Ryder Cup team.
Guys are going to start becoming nostalgic, which is crazy because a lot of them are still young, but they just hit their ascension and their peak so early that, you know, we're almost more years removed from them being legitimate, like, major championship threats than they were having that window, right?
Yeah.
100%.
There's going to be, I think, at least one
of those. And by the way, that's just my caveat of saying, I'm not saying that they can never win again.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that they should no longer be favored the way that they kind of were there for about that five-year window.
I agree with you. I think that the young players have passed them by, but we're going to have to wait and see with the rollback, because then I think shot shaping and experience and long iron play comes in a little bit more.
And that's why I feel so good about Scotty.
Well, yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. when he's the best player in the world at everything except for putting, and then, you know, as long as the putter can stay halfway hot, I feel pretty good about him, too.
So my question to you boys is, since the captain is not determined yet, who would you like to be your USA captain in 2025?
Listen, I think... They always pick current players. I would like it to be Fred Couples again. I think he would do a really good job and be honest. But he is buddy buddies with JT as well. Who do you think, Sean? I mean, we're talking about a veteran player on his way out. It's probably not going to be the Cat, right?
I was just going to say, I think everybody would want it to be. I remember that conversation actually building up a little bit last year, saying, "Oh, who could." You know, the speculation began right after the ass kicking of who it could be in 2025. And I just don't know if Tiger has the desire to do that. But he would probably be the most unbiased because he's so far removed from all of these other guys. They all idolize him. He's not really in a little fraternity club with any of them.
So, yeah, my answer, obviously, if it wasn't Tiger, Matt Kuchar.
Ooh, that is a controversial figure.
It is a controversial figure, but I think these young guys love Matt Kuchar.
I think it's going to be Stuart Sink.
I mean, it's going to be one of these vice captains that they have, whoever it is, Couples, Sink, you know, whoever it is. But I think you got to get new blood in there. There's, like as Tom said, it's not buddy-buddy with these guys that, you know, JT doesn't even make the FedEx Cup playoffs. But like, hey, come play for the Ryder team. Oh, Keegan Bradley, you're number nine in the world? Don't worry, we don't need you.
Yeah, I mean, Tiger has – it looks like the captainship is available to Tiger if he wants it. If not, Sink, it looks like he's going to be the fill-in. Let me tell you something. That would be absolutely electric to have Tiger at probably the hardest golf course, one of the hardest golf courses on the planet at Bethpage.
And it feels like if he were to do it, it would have to be on U.S. soil, right?
Of course. In New York, baby. In Long Island, where we can actually go and watch it. Well, two of us can, and Sean, we'll get you out here.
Yeah, well, I can fly up that way.
I'll get you on the private jet. We'll put you under, you know, TJ Yamas. Okay. That'll be your name on the plane. TJ Yamas.
I don't know who that is, but okay. We'll take it.
And not JT Thomas. Justin Thomas, you know, goes by JT. That's why I call him, you know.
So but you're going to go TJ Yamas. Okay.
We're going to TJ Yamas. You know?
Jesus. Justin sounds like Thomas Sean's trying. Remember when they had that thing when we were applying to colleges and they were like, oh, change your name on Facebook because, you know, the colleges look. That's kind of.
Yeah, when you change your name to like W.A. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Did you guys take anything away or are we just waiting on part two now?
I think we're just waiting on part two. I mean, obviously, you know, being golf people that we are, we obviously know how it all shakes out.
We know how it ends, and we know they're going to get their ass kicked, but they do a good job with the dramatization of it and still making it interesting, I think. Enough to watch, at least.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. It definitely, looking at it from the lens of trying to be a casual while watching this and being like, oh, I'm going to pretend like I don't know what happened or I don't remember all the way back to last September. Like, mm-hmm. It is. They do a good job building it up and showing all the wives and trying to cultivate the family aspect of it. And like I said, I think that you really got the complete difference between what the U.S. squad was, which was supposed to basically be running it back, to a Europe team that was basically brand new. And you got a blend of young and old. So I thought they did a really good job with all that and, you know, getting the inside scoop with certain relationships that we kind of already saw on the surface, but became a little bit more clear.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. And, you know, maybe a little funny hot take at the end, not maybe a hot take, but watching this episode and hearing Zach Johnson's wife speak, I'm like, this is the female Zach Johnson. Like, if she played on the female tour, she'd be Zach Johnson.
That sounds like a perfect pair.
Well, yeah, it's like Patrick Reed, Patrick Reed and his wife. I mean, there's a
her burner accounts on Twitter. Yeah. Don't make fun of my husband.
It's use golf facts. Get it right.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
The only other observation I have, and this is not, it doesn't mean anything, but it's just an observation. A lot of American wives for the European guys, so they're beating our asses and they're stealing our women.
Yeah.
Mm. Good call.
I might have to become the captain. No women allowed.
What about a guy like Joel Damon?
I love Joel Damon. I do think that he has a chance to contend at majors on a certain course, but the way they design those courses, Joel Damon doesn't have the game to play, and he'll tell you. He's not long
captain.
Enough.
I was thinking his captain. Just getting the boys rowdy. That's what we need.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in a couple of years. It seems like the captains that they pick are always.
That was
like
a perfect example of nobody knows what it means.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, I could see everybody but Scheffler just crushing a beer before they tee off. I don't see Scheffler as that kind of guy.
Scheffler, a big God guy, Will. Us as Kennedy Catholic schoolboys got to be proud of that.
Yep. Father Norton. Yeah.
Gotta love God.
You respect that, yeah. Gotta love God.
Sean, you love God too, right? Of course.
I mean, he's from Texas, obviously.
Yeah, God, guns.
Yeah, God, cousins. Guns, and Jack Daniels. God, guns, Jack Daniels.
And cousins.
Just not on Sundays.
Not on Sundays.
All right, boys. This is 9 days in a row for Sean and I. Will, you did a bunch, too. Let's give credit where
credit's due. Got my voice recorder yesterday. You know, I was at the ringside talking to the boys.
But. Yep. And we got more coming for you, Sean. Hot and heavy and fast.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of work to be done, gentlemen. Let's stay on the grind.
Yeah, can't wait for the NFL draft either. Got more sports to talk about.
Yes, sir. All right, boys. We'll be talking to everybody soon. Follow us as usual on Twitter @SorrySports.
Later, guys.